You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Friday, a meat Friday at that. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Two best tight ends in the NFL cashed in yesterday. Niners George Kittle, the Chiefs Travis Kelce signing hefty contract extensions and getting paid significantly more than other players at their position. And they're both unstoppable. They're worth the money. They're too fast for linebackers to cover, too big for defensive backs. Kittle and Kelce follow the tradition of other all-time elite tight ends. You know, the likes of Rob Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow, just to name a few. And it's good to see players at that position, and a position that's not traditionally rewarded, get rewarded. And usually tight ends are on the low end of the spectrum, like running backs and safeties, but not the case here. You know, the receivers and pass rushers make a lot more. The Niners and Chiefs loaded with talent, and Kittle and Kelce present unique challenges for defenses, and they both put their teams in great position to be back at this year's Super Bowl. I was wondering about the age of Kelce, though, getting this contract, because Kittle is younger. But Kelce will be 36 when this contract expires. But we've seen players at that position still perform at a high level around that age. Tony Gonzalez, from age 33 to 37, caught more than 400 passes. Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, Shannon Sharp, also very productive at that age. And Kelce right now is 30, doesn't miss games. I think he's missed one game since 2013. Since his rookie season, one game at that position. You've got everything in place there for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you got your best defensive player, Chris Jones, locked up. Mahomes is locked up. And now you have Travis Kelce locked up as well. Tyrann Mathieu, the question is, are you going to be able to lock up other players? Because you're going to be paying Patrick Mahomes $500 million. We might look back on that deal. In fact, I'll make a prediction. We'll look back on the Mahomes deal and barring injury and say that the Chiefs got a bargain. Which sounds really strange to say you're going to pay somebody $500 million over the next 12 years and say they're going to get a bargain. But unless Mahomes gets injured, then I think you're going to look back and say, wow, they got him for that price. It's the same thing that happened with Bryce Harper. You know, Bryce Harper kept waiting. Where's he going? You know, Scott Boras' agent is trying to get, you know, two teams in. And then Philadelphia signs him to, what, a 12 or 13-year deal. And at the time we go, gosh, do you want to I don't want to sign up somebody that amount of time. 5 years would be the most that I want to invest in somebody just because of the unpredictability of sports and injury. But Philadelphia, they had to give him that money to get him. I don't think that was his top choice, but Bryce Harper goes to Philadelphia, and we might look back on that contract and say they got a bargain with that. Maybe the Angels got a bargain with Mike Trout. We get stunned by those numbers. Like Garrett Cole, $300 million. Okay. Would I want to spend that kind of money? No, but it's not my money. But if that's the going rate, or that's what you had to pay to get somebody, the Yankees haven't won. It's been a while. This would serve as a drought for the Yankees. And you've got Garrett Cole, and they needed Garrett Cole because that pitching staff is suspect. And I think that'll be the reason they win or don't win a World Series this year. If the pitching staff somehow is consistent and Garrett Cole is dominant, then you know they can win. But if not, then they're not going to win the World Series, and it'll be just on their pitching. So they did spend, maybe overspent, to get Garrett Cole, but sometimes you have to do that. You know, the Angels overspent for Albert Pujols. That didn't work out well. Now, you got the tail, you know, the second half of a Hall of Fame career, but if they got him maybe 4 or 5 years earlier, then maybe it would have turned out differently. But you look at these contracts and the enormity of them, like Kirk Cousins. Nobody talks about Kirk Cousins' contract anymore. But at the time we went, he got it all guaranteed. Kirk Cousins. And then, well, everybody's going to get guaranteed money now. You know, George Kittle, do they overpay? I don't know. You might look back and say you got a bargain here with George Kittle. Yeah, McLovin.
We were wondering, how do the Chiefs afford everybody? They've had like every major signing over the last 2 years. Is everyone else getting minimum wage?
I don't know how they're pulling it off here. I mean, that's tricky. Where the most valuable person on your team is the guy who's the capologist. Like, how do you make all of this work? How do I get this person to come in? And now you're going to hope that some players are going to want to go and play with the Chiefs the way players wanted to go play for the Patriots and Tom Brady and get a chance at a Super Bowl. If you're just joining us, we got a poll question. McLovin, would you do the honors, please?
We put up for hour one, who would you buy stock in, the Phoenix Suns or the New Orleans Pelicans? Actually, the Pelicans won 57%.
Yeah, that's due to Zion.
Yeah.
But you got a coach in a state of flux there, in Alvin Gentry. Brandon Ingram, restricted free agent. Lonzo Ball was that was disappointing. Because I love, when he plays at his high level, he's really fun to watch. He plays defense. His shot became at least respectable. And then all of a sudden, he just mailed it in the bubble. He did not want to be there. Certainly gave that impression. And then Zion, as you move along at his age, you're always going to be holding your breath. Can he stay healthy? And Phoenix doesn't have enough yet. I mean, we look at Booker. Monty Williams is an elite coach, in my opinion. DeAndre Ayton is not my kind of big man. And the fact you missed out on Luka Doncic, that's going to follow you forever. Every time you see Luka Doncic putting up great numbers, the Sacramento Kings or Hawks, Phoenix Suns have to be going, Or somebody goes, oh, did you see what Doncic did last? No, what did he do? 34, 20, and 14. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to that draft 2018, I was the biggest Marvin Bagley guy. I thought Bagley was the sure thing. Fantastic offensive player.
You weren't alone.
Inside, outside. He's averaging like 14 and 7. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not just not that right.
Yeah, there's nothing right about it. There's nothing wrong, but 14 and 8. Going that high.
And your boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think I got that.
Great.
He was the 11th pick of the draft, and now he's starting to really come into his own.
I think he's like Pascal Siakam, that you don't notice him because of the other players on his team. And then all of a sudden, he's emerging there. He's emerging. You look at all this Kentucky talent, right? These guys who come into the NBA and you're not quite sure how good they are, and all of a sudden you're going, wow. Coach Calipari had a lot of talent and went through there. And only one national title. Yeah, Paul.
Remember the guy we thought was going to be awesome? Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. Big kid, swingman. He had that huge preseason game for the Knicks. Yep. He was the 9th pick of the draft for the Knicks. He's averaging 10 points for a game. He's a nice player. But everyone was like, oh, the Knicks got a guy.
Yeah, but they've had some questionable draft picks there. I mean, R.J. Barrett. I thought R.J. Barrett was going to come in and probably get 22 a game. And he might turn out to be that kind of player. I just thought that's an offensive-minded guy, and he's going to come in and put up some decent numbers. But when you go 14 and 5 for the Knicks, 14 points, 5 rebounds, that ain't cutting it, man. Yes, McLovin.
Is this unfair what we do to draft picks where you're just defining Marvin Bagley by Luka Doncic? Like, in the NFL, like, Trubisky's always going to have Mahomes.
No, it's not fair, but it is reality. Where the Bears passed up not one, but two, I think, future Hall of Fame. They traded up to pass on two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So, sorry, Paulie.
I've done a good job.
On a Friday. Sorry. Yes, Eden.
But, I mean, just looking at this year, Brandon Ingram was a failure up until this year, and now everybody loves him. Like, I knew this guy was going to be something, but he struggled to get his sort of sea legs under him. Why don't we give... He should be a lesson that we should give kids a little more time.
Well, he showed signs with the Lakers that he was really good. And then it was Reggie Miller who said he doesn't do well in a big city. And then he went to New Orleans. But you have to go out of your way to watch New Orleans. When Zion wasn't playing, nobody's watching New Orleans. He's a really good player. And maybe he is a Kevin Durant type player. But he showed signs with the Lakers. Yes, he...
But speaking, like, that sort of speaks to that the fit of the team has to be right for the individual player. Like, it could be possible that not all of the Knicks draft picks are bad. Maybe they're just in a really crappy situation.
That could be true. If Zion ended up there, and then all of a sudden Kevin Durant and Kyrie are going to go to the Knicks, and of course none of that happened. Also, people have looked at the Nets and how hard they've played during the bubble, And, you know, so now you're going, wow, imagine when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come back with these players, these scrappy players. Well, I don't know if I agree with that, because remember the Celtics with Kyrie, when Kyrie went down and all of a sudden Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Rozier, they played better when he was gone. I think he might stunt the growth of quite a few of these young players with the Nets when he comes back. Yes, Paulie.
Got a quick one for you, Dan. All this right. may upset McLovin. Going back to the 2016 draft, the top two picks were Ben Simmons out of LSU and Brandon Ingram out of Duke. Right now, who would you add to your roster?
Ooh.
Saucy. Lightly saucy.
Ooh. McLovin.
I'm not paying $90 million for either. Not if
you,
I want
to
win a
title.
You have to have one of them.
Have one
of them.
I would take Ingram now, but I don't think he's worth a max. I think he screws up your team. So I wouldn't want either.
Well, you have to pay the max. You can't get around it.
Someone's going to get stuck with those guys. I don't think I would take Ingram, but I don't really want either. I mean, what happened to Ingram? Does he play any defense at all anymore?
I don't know. Zion doesn't play any defense.
No, I know. That's why the Pelicans got ousted so badly.
Although Ben Simmons does play defense. He's considered it. Yeah, I don't know if he's a great two-way player, because it's the other end of the court. I still have my questions about Ben Simmons on the offensive end.
Do the Sixers have any chance down here in bubble? Remember Mannix had them in the finals?
Well, but you got Simmons injured, and I don't know. This roster this year is not better than the roster they had last year. Lowest field goal percentage in the bubble. Lonzo Ball, come on down, 30%. Marcus Smart, 32%, and Robert Covington, 33%. So, Lonzo Ball, you can't shoot 30%. When you have the ball in your hands that much, you can't be a horrible shooter. And I thought he was... He'll end up with the Knicks, right? They'll put Lonzo and LaMelo on there. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, some of these guys we're talking about, like, it's about time they step up. I think Lonzo's 22 now. Ingram's 22. They've had their shot in the air. Tatum's 22. It's now or never. I'm saying, like, these guys should be seniors, and we're evaluating them.
Oh, I know. I know.
They're so young.
I know.
Did you know Ingram's 22? Luka's, like, 20.
I know. But if they play 2 or 3 years, we feel like, okay, that's enough time to prove if you're good or not. Meanwhile, it used to be you waited till somebody was around 25, where you go, okay, I got a pretty good idea how good this person is. All right, 877-3DP show email address, dp@danpatrick.com. We'll talk to Herm Edwards, the Arizona State head football coach. He'll join us coming up. Mark Emmert emerged from his foxhole or bunker or wherever it was, and he had a Zoom call. He's the president of the NCAA. He announced the NCAA has made it clear it's not safe to play football because it canceled the FCS Division One and or Division Two and Division Three seasons, but the other football season will continue. So the Division Two and Division Three seasons are not safe, and the FCS. The NCAA, by the way, has very little jurisdiction over the ACC, SEC, and Big 12. Because keep in mind, that's not an NCAA trophy that they hand out. They hand out that crystal football. That's some sponsored football. And I wonder, and I'm trying to get information on this, at least today, of how are they going to bubbleize the NCAA March Madness? And that was the term that was used, given to me, you know, that they're trying to bubbleize the tournament. And I said, well, how do you have a season? How do I get to the point where I get my 68 teams? Do I go off last season? That doesn't seem right. I don't know how you do that. If you're going to have basketball, you're going to have a half a season of basketball. How are you going to do March Madness? Because that's NCAA money right there. That's your big ticket item. And if you're pushing out college football this season with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, you can bet damn sure they're going to do everything they can to bubbleize March Madness. You got billions of dollars here. And that's the reason why there's college football with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12. They have the money to test. They have the money to be able to quarantine. They have the money to be able to hire doctors, medical staffs. You know, the women's volleyball can't do that. Softball can't do that. Wrestling, baseball can't do that. That's why you're seeing this. These other schools, the Mid-American Conference, they can't afford this. The Mountain West, they can't afford this. That's the reason why they're not playing football. Because if you could afford all that testing, then you would probably have football in some of these other conferences. Look at where we are now to where we were on Monday. Really amazing. It feels like a lot has happened. And it has. And I still get the feeling that we might see some of these schools, not every school in these three conferences, I think, will be playing football. And that's just a gut feeling. I have no information on that, just a gut feeling. Now, there is a sense of fragile to this right now. There's a tentative feel, like it's holding your breath. Let's just get there and get that first game, that, you know, third week in September. Let's just get that game going. Let's just start it. And as a former coach said to me last night, if they could start the season today, they'd start the season today. Like, let's just start it and get it going. Like Major League Baseball, just start it, and then we'll figure it out along the way. And baseball still hasn't figured that out. And that's going to be a mess, too. The Cardinals, how do they make up all these games? They've played 5 games. The Cubs have played 20. At some point, baseball has to punish the Cardinals and the Marlins because you're hurting the other teams who did it the right way. And I don't know what you do because the Cardinals still have to play these games against these other teams so they can reach the required number. Like, what is going to be, you must get to 50 games. I don't know what you do. You make the Cardinals go on the road the whole time? That's where their problems started, on the road. We're going to go to a casino. But I don't know how you punish those teams if they don't abide by the rules. All right, Herm Edwards is going to join us, Arizona State head coach. What did he tell his team? Does he think there's going to be spring football? Because as I pointed out last hour, if you're thinking about the Big Ten playing football in January and February in those conditions, in those cities, that weather, and you're going to be going into your last season being draft eligible, there are going to be a lot of players who are not going to want playing that. I don't think anybody's thought about what it's like in Columbus, West Lafayette, Ann Arbor, Madison. When it's January or February, it's a little bit different than September and October and even November. We'll take a break. Phone calls coming up. We'll get to those. And Todd Gurley of the Falcons is going to join us coming up top of the hour. Take a break, 19 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. You know, as more places reopen and we safely enjoy summer, quality sleep is more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, also helps with energy and recovery. Sleep prepares you to be more balanced emotionally. People are, you know, beginning to realize how important sleep is to their general health and well-being. And this is where the Sleep Number 360 smart bed featuring Sleep IQ technology comes in handy. It can improve quality sleep by over 15 minutes each night. Come in right now. Biggest sale of the year. All their beds are on sale for a limited time. Save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick, or give them a call and chat. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Get to your phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Once again, Blazers, Grizzlies, last spot in the West. They play on Saturday. Cardinals have played 5 games. Cubs have won 9 of 10. And Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, appeared via Zoom yesterday. No championships for fall NCAA sports. Speaking of football, he's the head coach at Arizona State. Good to welcome back Herm Edwards. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing fine, my friend. And I'm looking at your studio there, and I'm realizing that you have a lot of memorabilia there, right? I'm watching it all, and I'm looking at all the new things you have. But I can tell you this now. You're a pretty good collector of that stuff, I understand. You don't have one of these.
Ooh.
Not yet.
A Herm Edwards bobble doll. Bobblehead.
Okay. And now, this is going to date us. You don't have this.
Oh, where you pick up the fumble, the Pisarcik fumble. I never saw that one, Herm.
Come on. Yeah, look at that. Somebody gave this to me. It's unbelievable. I said, really? I said, okay, I'll take it.
That, one of the great moments. Well, it was a great moment for you in NFL history, but that gave you immortality, right?
That kept me current, right?
By the way, and that's when we taking a knee was invented because of that play, the missed handoff by Joe Pisarcik to that was Larry Zonka.
Yes, it was Larry Zonka. Correct.
Oh my God.
1978. We're aging ourselves, partner. We're aging ourselves.
Do you have that football?
I do. I have that one, and I give you the next one I have. I've got obviously a few, but that one was important. But I gave one that was most important. My first NFL interception was against the Los Angeles Rams in the Coliseum, and the quarterback was?
Joe Namath.
There you go.
You know, Joe is such a great guy. He'd probably sign that if you asked him to.
Dan, here's a great story. So I get it. It's my rookie year. We play the Rams, and I intercept the ball, and I take it to the sideline, and they put the tape on it, right? So the game ends. We're walking out of the Coliseum. I have the ball. I'm a rookie now. First NFL interception. I'm a rookie. And I'm walking, and I see Joe. He's in front of us. And I said, I asked a couple of vets, you think he'd autograph this? Leave it alone.
Yeah, probably not right after the game. No. But if you saw Joe right now, Joe would probably do it.
He's a good man.
Did you so every interception you had, you kept?
No, I mean, no, because I've had 33 in regular and another 5 in playoffs. I had about 38 of them.
Yeah.
But no, but the special ones, you know, situations, whatever it may be. But yeah, I've got a few.
We talked to Chip Kelly yesterday, and he was, you know, it wasn't Chip Kelly the coach. It was Chip Kelly the person, where he was just saying, look, you know, I understand it, and, you know, we're in a hot spot here, and it's tough to be able to tell these kids that we're not going to be playing football, but there's bigger issues here. And, you know, you're a deep thinker. You're emotional. You know, when you first got the word that you're not going to play football, how long did it take before then you get together with your team?
It wasn't very long. They knew, you know, they knew a decision was going to be made because we've actually had walkthroughs. We've been meeting, all those things. And I told them when we get off the field and we went to the field to have a walkthrough, I said, we're going to know something. And sure enough, by, you know, 1 o'clock, I had to address them and tell them the news. And it was very difficult. There's no doubt. And I think it's difficult for everyone when you think about it.
But, you know, this is I said this to Coach Kelly, and maybe you could help me with this. Why aren't we getting the medical community in the ACC, SEC, and, you know, the Big 12 together with the Big 10 and the Pac-12 so your doctors, their doctors, can exchange information here, Herm?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know if they've done that. I don't know. I don't even want to try to play armchair quarterback, obviously. But we knew going into this that it was going to be led by our professionals, our healthcare professionals. We knew that when this thing started, like 5 months ago, right? And they were going to give us a game plan. And I think as it got closer, Dan, to having to really go out and try to participate in practice, we've had walkthroughs. Players have been working out for 2 months, but the practice deal, and then obviously with this new thing about the heart and all that all these things became a factor when they said no. And I said this, Dan, I think every school has done a nice job of really creating this bubble. That's the big term now, bubble, right? Well, next Thursday, we start school. Whole different element comes in now, right? Because of the socialness of young people. And how do you prevent that? How do you, it's hard. It's hard.
But do you even know what you're allowed to do as you move forward in the fall as a head coach?
Well, right now, we're under the same requirements we were before we postponed, in the fact that you had 20 hours. Now, they will give us a schedule. Speaking of schedules, I've got a schedule I've already mapped out until Thanksgiving, what we are going to try to do, right? And you got to keep it interesting. You got to keep players engaged, which is very tough, along with coaches. But that's what we got to try to do right now.
But why can you practice and not play?
Well, we never practiced. It was walkthrough.
Okay.
Not practice.
Okay.
We were going to actually start practicing on the 17th. That never occurred.
Do you think there's going to be spring football?
Oh,
I'm hoping, but
there's a lot of balls to juggle here. And I think a lot of people, you know, are asking the question, how can they play like a full season? I would give them this if I was sitting in that seat trying to orchestrate this. And if it came to fruition where we could play, I would do this in our conference. I would let the South play against the South, the North against the North. That would give you five games. And then the winners of both those conferences play, that would give you six. And you could crown a champion. Then if you came back in the fall, you'd actually play 18 games. LSU played 17 games last year.
Yeah.
Right? So that way, seniors that played six games, it doesn't count. They could come back. They could also leave to go to the draft. So you would kind of help both parties there. And I heard you earlier when you were talking about, you know, people playing like in the winter. And you're right. I mean, all of a sudden, the Washington schools, you look on your schedule, you know, our schedule would be we play Utah and Colorado, depending on when we played them, we'd be okay, right? If Colorado was here, we're good.
Yeah.
We had to go to Utah. You'd only probably get one cold game on our side of it. On the other side, if the Washington schools, the Oregon schools, that gives you a little bit of a problem if you're Stanford maybe, because you'd have to go on those elements.
If I don't know if your kids, your athletes said, hey, why is the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 playing and we're not playing, Coach?
Right. I mean, that's going to be the question. And I told them is this, look, we're going to go by the game plan of our physicians. That's what we got to do. And I said, we're not going to play armchair quarterback. I'm not going to try to do it. That's not my. I just got to keep you guys whole. And I got to keep my coaching staff whole. So I'm wishing them a lot of luck. I really am. I'm hoping they can get through it. That would be fantastic. But we'll just, as well as the NFL.
Yeah,
NFL hasn't started yet either. I mean, we're going to see this thing unfold.
What are you going to do on Saturdays?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. Yeah. Well, I haven't got to Saturday yet. I don't know. I mean, you know, I know this. I dealt with the 9/11 deal. I was the head coach of the Jets. My first season of rookie head coach, and I dealt with that, and I know how that was like, whoa, right? It was one of those deals like, are you kidding me? Right? The unexpected.
Yeah.
I mean, that was truly the unexpected. And dealing with that for 2 weeks, but then the emotion of when we actually got to play again. We played New England in New England. Dan, I tell you what, it was unbelievable. I mean, the national anthem, the flag, the whole deal, man. There was not a dry eye in the stadium, you know? I'm looking forward to that again. That's what I'm trying to remember. When we actually get back to playing again, that's my hope. That's what it's going to look like.
When you coached against Belichick, I always wondered, do you almost out-coach yourself in preparing to coach against Belichick?
Well, I think the thing that Bill has done, you know, and he's a fantastic Hall of Fame coach, obviously, you always have to understand that you have to have the ability to adjust on both sides of the ball. In other words, you could come in with this plan of, well, they ran this front defensively, right? And you're going, I'm going to play against this front. And all of a sudden, you think it's a 4-3, and now it's 3-4. You're going, ah! You're still going ahead. We got a plan, but a plan that can't be changed is a bad plan. You got to be able to change your plan and adjust, right? So you got to know that and figure it out. So it's always a chess game. But if you understand that going in, you're going to be okay.
But when you go against Brady,
yes,
like there's nothing about Brady that, like, you go, oh my God, from the standpoint of the physical aspect of it. You know, like, there's other people with better arms, obviously more mobility, like all of these things. So now it's the thinking process of, and it feels like it's harder to outthink somebody who's maybe smarter than you than it is to take on somebody who has athleticism.
No, and Tom's, and look, I've always said we're the starter of all this, of the Tom Brady career, because I was sitting there when we knocked out Bledsoe, Mo Lewis hit Bledsoe, and then comes Tom, and in comes this guy, Tom Brady, and he comes in the game, and we're in New England, and we're playing, and, you know, we ended up winning that game. It was a low-scoring game, and then he comes back like 3 or 4 weeks later, and they play us. You know, and then you kind of watch and you go, uh-oh. And for the rest of my career, that division, you're not going to deal with Captain America. I'm going, come on, man.
Did you even have a scouting report on Tom Brady?
We did when he came out, you know, and it was funny because, you know, it's funny because you look at scouting reports and all that and you go, hey, I get all that, but can the guy play quarterback? And boy, can he play quarterback. And I always tease him when I see him. I say, you know, I said, remember, I gave you this opportunity, man.
Mo Lewis should go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And you know what? And I was a little bit – I don't know if I was surprised, but I didn't know. I thought he might not leave, you know?
He was so unhappy. He wanted to have fun, Herm.
But I thought he might be a guy that just ends his career there, you know, and just – But and I start laughing. I said, look, if he wanted to go on the boat and in the end zone, I said, you know, I work for Tampa. I said, I'd give him a free pass.
I think Brady just wanted to have fun. And as strange as that may sound to people, he was in a business. I mean, I don't know. I just think he wanted to, give me some weapons here. He goes down there. All of a sudden, I got weapons here.
Well, yeah, all of a sudden, guys start coming out of retirement, right? You know, with Bruce being down there, Bruce Arians, and good friend, and we coached together in Kansas. I've known Bruce forever. And it's funny, Bruce, he was the head coach. He was on the Temple staff when I was in Philly playing. How about that?
Oh, wow.
And then we worked together in Kansas City when Marty was the coach. He was the running back coach, right? So, you know, Bruce, he'll do things that Tom probably likes, you know. And like you said, Tom was there forever. I mean, he's a legend in New England and all that stuff, and rightly so, he deserves it.
Yeah, I just think he wanted to just exhale. And, you know, because it's always, you know, who's more important, Belichick or Brady? And, you know.
They're both together, hard to beat.
Well, I want to see what – are you interested in see what he does with Cam Newton?
Yeah. And, I covered Cam in college when I was doing SEC games. And I think this is one of those moments that Cam kind of likes. Because people are probably saying, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, kind of that deal, right? And they'll use his talent now. They will have some design plays in there where all of a sudden he's running the ball, right? He's coming at you with the ball in his hand. You tell you what, he's something now.
Oh, it's great to catch up with you. And, you know, if you get lonely and you just, you know, you want to talk, then, you know, you can always, you can call me, we can Zoom. Yeah. I'm available over the weekend too, Herm. Yeah,
we're of the same era. We can go back to those days. You know, when you mentioned outside, I call them the Vikings, but they're not the real Vikings. You mentioned how cold it was going to be. I can remember going to play those guys, and Fran Tarkenton was the quarterback and Ahmad Rashad was the receiver, and it was so cold. Right. And Nate Wright had played DB for him. He was a friend of mine. He comes by the hotel and said, hey, man, you know, when it's so cold, Fran got small hands. He can't throw the ball in these kind of conditions. I said, really? So I tell the defensive line, listen to this, Dan. He goes back 52 times and throws
off. with his small hands in the cold weather.
Yeah, we're outside, man. And I'm trying to come. Ahmad Rashad, I said, this ain't a fair fight. Oh, boy.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I appreciate your time, and I love your enthusiasm, man. Ben, good luck. I know you got a lot on your plate here coming up, but good to check in with you.
You too, man. God bless you.
Thank you, man. That's Herm Edwards, Arizona State head football coach. Whew. That's why you do this job. You get an opportunity to have somebody who shares stories with you, that enthusiasm. And look, you know, I didn't know how positive he was going to be. I've known Herm a long time. He's a positive guy, but he's not playing football this year, not coaching football. And it's really going to hit home in a couple of weeks on those Saturdays because your body tells you something. Football weather tells you something. It always did for me. The smell in the air, you just knew there's football being played. And you're not going to have that in a lot of places around the country. Yes, Seton.
We were talking about it this morning, actually, before the show, pulling up in the parking lot, and the Traeger grill is on because it's Friday, and Alan's already out there cooking, and we were like, man, it smells like fall.
Yeah.
You know?
Tailgate season.
One of those things, yeah.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Todd Gurley. He'll join us coming up top of the hour. That was a lot of fun with Herm. A lot of fun. Boy, does he bring energy. And when a guest is... when a guest tells you the story before you even ask the story, makes my job a whole lot easier. All right, we'll take a break. Phone call's coming up next here. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. RockAuto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. Want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers, catalogs, behind the parts store counter. And second, to make the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices at RockAuto.com. You choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. RockAuto.com has a lot of the parts you've been told dealer only are no longer available. Delivered right to your home or office. You don't waste time and money hunting for parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com. Tell them we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Brad in North Carolina. Brad, sorry, I know you've been holding for a long time. What's on your mind today?
Not a problem, DP. Man, you guys better put that that interview into your Emmy reel for next year because that was fantastic, man. He was great. But anyway, just a quick comment, then a question for you. My comment is I work for a company. We're based out of Columbus, Ohio, and had to travel up there for training last year. The first week of November, it was 7 degrees. There's no way that they can pull off a winter football season in the Big Ten, in my opinion.
But, yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, what's your question?
My question for you is, and I know this is all fluid and everything's moving, hour by hour, but it does seem like there is a little bit more stabilization with the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, but do you foresee any chance that there would be enough backlash from, I don't know, players, ADs, fans, that the Big Ten or the Pac-12 would backtrack off of what they're doing if things continue to stabilize with the conferences moving forward? Anyway,
right. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Brad. You too have a good weekend. No, I think that ship has sailed. Pac-12, Big Ten, they made their decision. And I don't think they're going to walk that back, right? Anytime soon. We're going to hear from Dan Hicks of NBC Golf. And I was watching yesterday the U.S. Amateur, and the caddy on the final hole of a match play, the player he's caddying for hits the ball in the bunker. He goes in and is checking almost the texture of the sand and the depth of the sand, which you're not allowed to do. And I quickly said to the Danettes, Channel 218, because it was on Golf Channel, and I said, I didn't even say it, I said 218, and it was playing out on live TV where the caddy cost his player his match because it was all square. They were playing the 18th. The caddy for the other player is like, no, you touch the sand. So you have, guys who, rules officials who were coming over, and NBC Golf Channel had an overhead shot of the caddy in the bunker, and he was rubbing it with his hand, and he was denying it for about 5 minutes. He's like, I didn't touch that sand. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to end well. And then next thing you know, the rules official hands the guy his ball and says, you won. And he's like, what? He goes, yeah, that you're not allowed to touch the sand. And it cost him. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And you had Bones McKay, Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy, he's on the course. He's your course reporter. And it's happening live. And I go, oh, my God. If we can't get the caddy on, then, see if we get Dan Hicks or Bones on. Yeah, Paulie.
The player whose caddy had the fault, Segundo Olivia Pinto, he was like it's over? He goes, it's not a one-stroke penalty? He goes, no. He goes, the hole is over, so final hole. He starts taking off his glove, and his caddy goes to say, I'm sorry, or explain himself, or keep denying. And Segundo just turned and starts walking. Yep. He was like trying to keep his cool.
And the Golf Channel kept the camera on those two because you knew that they had to. He was carrying his putter or his wedge with him. The golfer was carrying his club, and that caddy is keeping his distance with the golf bag. And you knew eventually they were going to stop, and they were going to have a little conversation there because he had to get the wedge back from him. Yeah, Seton.
It was so interesting, too, was the player that ended up winning, how awkward it was for him, yeah. And really like how disappointed he was that it ended that way because, you know, he wants to play it out. He wants to play for real. He thought it was going to be a stroke penalty. But it was a very awkward moment for him, but interesting to see how disappointed he was.
Yeah, he was like, you know, you don't want to win that way, but, you know, those are the rules. Skip in Texas joins us. Hi, Skip, what's on your mind?
Hey, bud.
Hey.
Hey, this is your captain here in Texas. Let me know when you get that yacht.
Okay.
I got an idea for this Emmy fiasco. T-shirt idea for Seton here. Right. Instead of Les Miserables, let's go Trey Miserables.
Wow. Skip, thank you. Wow. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it wasn't really a fiasco, in fairness to the Emmy committee. I mean, we put on a good show. So much so, we've heard from the Emmy selection show that they somehow want to talk to us about what's going to happen next year.
Do they want us to host the Sports Emmys?
I don't know. But you know what? I would need a Sports Emmy first before I host a Sports Emmy. I'm just saying.
I'm into that.
Okay? Yeah. Now, they did. The Emmy people reached out to us after they saw what we did with our show on YouTube. By the way, it's on youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow if you want to see grown men cry. Let's see. Jason in Michigan. Hey, Jace, what do you have for me?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jace.
A couple NBA thoughts for you. That Blazers-Nets game was so entertaining last night, and being a Michigan guy, Caris LeVert is really turned into a special player. And speaking of Michigan guys, our guy, Duncan Robinson, did you see him last night with Chris Paul? Where Chris Paul, they were chirping a little bit back and forth. Chris Paul grabbed the ball, throws it off Duncan Robinson. Then next play, Jimmy Butler gets the switch so he can run over Chris Paul because he's got to protect his guys, especially his shooters.
Yeah, we're going to try to get Duncan Robinson on again next week. And thanks for the phone call. Yeah, Michigan, you got reason to be proud with some of these guys. LeVert's he's a good player. I'm curious the roles that these guys will play when Kevin Durant and Kyrie come back. Final hour coming up. We'll talk to Dan Hicks, NBC Golf. And Todd Gurley, Falcons running back. I saw where Todd Gurley, he bought his house from, who was the Twilight kid? Taylor Lautner?
Don't even try that.
I have never seen Twilight. Mm-hmm. I've never
Who's
seen.
Who's that?
Robert Pattinson.